Daf Tzadi Dalad, we got to the very bottom of Tzadi Gimel on the base, the new Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Hamocher Peros Lechaver, a person who sells fruit to somebody else, Hareze Mekabel Lav Rova Tnufas Lisa. You know, when you buy something, there's always going to be some parts that are going to be bad. So a guy buys an amount of fruit, there's going to be a certain amount of rova, which is a shear of some dirt that's going to be there, some dirt among the fruit. That's just how it comes, even though you're paying for the weight, perhaps, and some of that weight is dirt. That's just how it's typical of the guy's mochel. If the guy's buying te'enim, he's buying some figs, mekaba lav eser, mitulos lemeya. So there's going to be, of every 100 figs, there'll be 10 bad figs. That's considered normal, and that the lokeach is mochelam. And it's lav dafka 10 to 100, it's the ratio 1 to 10. If you buy a smaller amount, so every 10 figs are expected to be bad. Martev shel yayin, if you're buying a whole case of wine, so mekaba lav, the lokeach is taking upon himself, eser kosos lemeya. For every 100 bottles of wine, you expect 10 of the bottles of wine to be bad, and that's a mechila. And kankanim bisharon. Sharon was a certain place, Rashi said, Rashbam says. So if you buy kankanim, different jugs in Sharon, so mekabel of eser pitzos lemea. So same ratio, one out of every 10 or 10 out of every 100, you expect it to be bad, and there's a mechila. But more than that, it would be a problem. So the Mishon have a machlokas here. Is this true? These are the set shiurim. This was what the minhag was at the time when this Mishnah was written. In which case, wherever the location, time, and place, it's going to adjust depending on, you know, nowadays you buy a case of wine, no bottles are expected to be bad. But of course, it depends on where you live. That's how some Rishonim understand it. While other Rishonim say, no, this is a place where there is no such minhag. So the Mishnah is establishing this is what the halacha is going to be in such a place that doesn't have an established minhag. Okay, so that's the machlokas in the Rishonim. So the Gemara says now, Tani Rav Ketina, Rav Ketina taught, Rova, this is going to be a very technical Gemara. We have to, like most of the problem we've been doing here in Baba Basra, so we'll try to take it slow and clear. So Tani Rav Ketina, Rova Kitnis Lissa, there's going to be among every sea, every shear of grain, there's going to be a certain amount of Rova of Kitnis, other types of beans and stuff might be mixed within it. V'afroras lo, but dirt, we don't expect there to be any dirt when you're getting a sah of the person's not mocha, I'm buying grains, I'm not buying dirt. So if I have some kitnis that are mixed together, that I'm okay with, but there's some afroras, or there's some dirt, that is not acceptable. So the Gemara says, v'afroras lo, is it really true that I wouldn't accept any dirt if I get a package of grains, no dirt will be there, it's unacceptable? V'ha'amar Rabba, doesn't Rabba Barchia Ketusva Mishmei de Rabba say that if a person is borer tsaror migarno shel chavero, so a guy goes ahead and he starts taking out the goren, this is where all the grain piles up in the threshing field, and some other guy starts picking out all the rocks and all the dirt and cleans it out. So what's the halacha? So now that guy who is borer has to pay no sein lo dmei chitam. I have the field, all my grains. I'm expected to sell the bushels of grain to this person. Now, part of that weight is their dirts and their pebbles and stuff. That's going to be my advantage. I'm going to charge him more. Some other guy comes and starts taking out the dirt. Now, he's lessening the weight for me. And when I sell it and put it on the scale, it's going to be less. So now the halacha is that he has to pay me back. Even though those stones and those pebbles and dirts were worthless, but for me, I was able to put it on the same scale and get money. So he has to pay me for that afroris that he took away from me. And Rashbam says, on the very top of Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph, no sein lo d'mei chitin, sharei hefchiso b'mita. He pays me back the amount of weight, even though he took dirt, but he has to pay me back in wheat, what wheat would cost of that same weight. Because he now lessened the shear of wheat that I'm selling, the iu havi mazmin lay im chitin. I'm going to sell the whole bushel of grains here, including the dirt. D'afroris mekabel lokech, because the lokech is willing to take the dirt. Even though the dirt is worthless, I could have weighed it and sold it as tevua. So he needs to pay me money. So the Gemara says further, so that's the question. The question is, so we said above that a guy is willing to take upon himself rova if there's kitnis, if there's beans mixed together with the green. So as lokech, I could actually use the beans. I'm okay, even though I bought wheat, I'm okay with. You never get barley. I make the children at home, so once in a while you'll find some like green beans that are mixed together with the barley. That's just, they store these things together sometimes, and then there's similar types of farms. So if I get some green peas in there, some kidneys, it doesn't bother me so much. If I open up the bag of barley and there's dirt there, I'm not going to want the dirt. So the question is, but this Gemara says if the guy takes the dirt out, it actually is going, he owes money. So we see dirt is part of the package. It is acceptable. So the Gemara says, it answers on the top of Sadi Dalid, Kitnis Rova, Afroris, Pachas Mirova. Now a guy, a lokeach, is willing to accept an amount of a rova of beans. But if there's a rova of Afroris, I won't accept that. If there's less than a rova, a little bit of dirt, that's acceptable. So that's the difference. So yes, I won't accept a rova of Afroris, but less than that I will accept. And that's why when the other guy comes and starts pulling out all the pebbles and dirt from my pile of tevua, he owes me money because he's lessening the weight for me. Look at Tosas on the top here, Diba Maschel, no saying lo, de mechitin. He quotes Perish Rivam, that this din here is Hainuk Rabbi Shimon, the Amar, Rabbi Shimon holds, Davar Hagorim the Mamon, Kimamon Dami. If someone calls me an indirect damage, so then he's Mechayv, he has to pay money. Begezel Chametz, if I stole Chametz from you, let's say, and then V'Avar Lava Pesach, Ubacher, some other guy burns it, now I didn't cause you any damage, some guy burned it, it wasn't me, but the fact that I held on to it and allowed Pesach to kick in, so that was an indirect damage because now Chometz is asur to you. So even though it wasn't a direct damage, it was a grumma, I'm chayiv. Here too as well. When the guy stole the dirt's worthless to me. But since it caused me to weigh less of the chita, that's an indirect damage, so that would be chayiv. So this Gemara holds according to Rabbi Shimon that davar hagorim the mamon, something that causes it lost, is kimamon dami, you have to pay me back money. That's the Rivam Shita. But the Re argues in Tosas, and the Re says, Nira, da'asi afilu k'rabanim. Even the Rabbanim who hold davar hagorim the mamon lav kimamon dami, they would be working well with this Gemara. Why? Because they say, da'asam, when it comes to the case of stealing chametz, vandai lav kimamon dami. That chametz is certainly not considered actual mamon. She'ena shaveh l'shum adam klum. Once Pesach hits, the chametz is worthless to anybody. It has no value. El gzeila lipater bo. Fine. Here in our case, in this case, it's like when you stole the dirt, it's as if you stole the actual chita. A person would sell pebbles also. Yeah, granted the pebbles are worth less than the chita, but you could still sell pebbles. You go to Costco, you go to the Lowe's, you buy a lot of rocks. You want to fill your garden up with some rocks. You could buy rocks on the market. You can't buy chametz, shavel of a pesach on the market. It has no value. So perhaps even in this case, the Rabbanan would agree that you would have to pay the money for stealing the dirt and the pebbles. Okay. Gemara now says two lines down. Vafroris rova lo. Is it really true that a person wouldn't be willing to accept a rova amount of dirt and pebbles? Vahatani, doesn't the Braisa say, Hamocher peris lechavero. Person sells fruits to his friend. So what type of fruit? If he sells chitin, if I sell wheat to you, so you as the consumer, mekabalav rova kitnis lisa, you're going to accept the fact that there might be a rova of other kitnis mixed together with wheat. And the Rashbam explains here because it was normal that you would grow in the same types of fields, of wheat along with beans, and that's why kitnis, this is the source of kitnis. This is not the source, but this is a proof that one of the reasons why kitnios is asur in Pesach Ashkenazim is because they would store and grow the wheat next to the beans and next to the other types of kitnios. So there's a concern that maybe a barley, a kernel of wheat or a kernel of barley might get mixed together with the beans that you're buying. So but that's what the Gemara says here. Since they all grow together, so I expect that there'll be a rova of kitnios in my bag of wheat that I'm buying. Now, if I'm buying se'orim, if I'm buying barley, so makaba lav rova nishovas l'se'ah, I expect for every se'ah of se'orim, there's going to be a rova of nishovas. I don't know what nishovas is. Is there a translation what nishovas is?
Straw.
Okay. So in the barley, I'm going to expect some straw to be in that bag as well. If I'm buying adashim, if I'm buying lentils, so then makaba lav rova afroris l'se'ah, I expect that when I buy lentils, there's going to be some dirt and stones and pebbles with that bag of lentils. So the Gemara says, so my lav hu adin lechitim l'sorim. This last line where it says rova of afroris, a rova of these pebbles and dirt, is it not also going back on chita sorin? That when I buy chita and sorin, I also expect there to be an amount of a rova of afroris. So we see people, lokim purchasers, are expected to take upon themselves even a rova of afroris. Prior to this, we said a person only accepts less than a rova of afroris. Here the Brisa indicates that even a rova afroris is expected in Dashim and even expected in case of Chita and Sorin. Gemara says, no, not true. This, when the Lokeach is accepting upon himself, he's Makaba Lava, a rova and afroris, that's only when buying a Dashim. Why a Dashim only? Why not Chita and Sorin? Because the Gemara explains, Shiny Adashim, Dimiakar, Akruluhu. Because since Adashim, you don't cut Adashim, you don't cut lentils. Rashbam explains the last narrow line. Dimyakar Akruluhu velo kotsun. You don't cut lentils like a wheat and barley with a sickle. You gather it from the ground. Therefore, it's more likely to find dirt and pebbles when collecting lentils. But when it comes to chit and sorin, where you're cutting the top of the stalks, you're not collecting from the ground. We don't expect there to be a rova of afroris with chit and sorin, and it's consistent. A person expects there to be less than afroris of less than a rova of afroris for chit and sorin, but not an arova. And more. Only by Adashim is that expected. So the Gemara says, fine. So now that we've established that you'll never find a rova or more of dirt within Chitin, so let's switch everything around now. Alataima da Adashim me'akir akrilu, only because the lentils are gathered together from the ground, you're going to pick up some dirt with that. Aval, but when it comes to Chita Visora, wheat and barley, lo, you won't have so much dirt. So now we could bring this as a raya, this brisa, shetivshet minei, we should prove this an answer, chita visorin da froris lo makabel. We could use this as a proof now, that when it comes to wheat and barley, person will not accept a rova of dirt. So that sounds like a raya. Not only was it a question before, now we answered it, we could view this as a proof. And Gemara says no. Liolam, you can't view this case as a proof. Because Liolam chita v'sora makabel afroris. I could still interpret the braisa to say as follows. When it comes to wheat and barley, a person, a lokach, is willing to accept even a rova of dirt and rocks. So what do we learn from the braisa? Why is the braisa only specify the case by adashim? The Gemara explains the reason why we have to specify adashim, if even though chita v'sora has the same din, because adashim, it's tzirichle. We need to teach the case of adashim of lentils. The sarakadai techamina, I would have thought, kevan dimyakir akrulu, yosem irova namri lekabel. Since lentils you're going to gather from the ground, you're going to have a lot more dirt than a rova. You're going to have bags of dirt along with the lentils. So maybe more than a rova should be permitted when it comes to adashim. Kamash mula, no, adashim also has a threshold, only a rova. So now, again, we have no proof for chita v'sora. We have two ways to read chita v'sora. So what's given is, adashim, certainly we allow a rova. When it comes to chita v'sora, there's an open question. Does a chita v'sora also, do we allow it to be a rova of a froris? Or no, chita v'sora we don't allow, only pachos me rova is acceptable if you find dirt and pebbles mixed with the wheat and the barley. Okay, the Gemara now says, Amar Rav Huna, im ba lihnafos menafes kulam. Let's say that guy goes to the store and he sees, looking at the bags of wheat, and he says there's a lot of dirt. And he's concerned that maybe there's more than a rova or more of dirt in the wheat. So I want to sift it out and make sure here. Let's take out of the bag, empty it on the sifter, and see how much dirt falls here. And if there's a rova or more of dirt, it's unacceptable. You're playing games with me because that's not part of the accepted ratio here. So if the guy wants to, imbalinafos, menafes kula, the guy's allowed to sift the wheat and see how much dirt, and he does the whole amount. So what does that mean? Menafos is kulon. So Rashbam says, look at the Rashbam three wide lines down. He says, menafos kulon. V'yach selo hamocher. Now the seller has to return chitin kenegen omal. So he has to return now the additional wheat or money for the surplus of dirt that's there. V'lo yomar rova kfar machlas v'hamosa ashle melcha. So let's say there's a rova plus a little bit. We don't say he returns only that little bit. Once he has more than a rova, he needs to pay the full amount of extra, even though normally, as a lokach, I mochel on the rova of dirt that's there. But if the guy puts more than that, he needs to pay back the full amount of dirt that's there. Since he's playing games with me now, so not just that extra above, not the surplus above the rova, but all the afreros he has to pay me back for. So the Gemara is about to say, what's the reason for this? Is it because Amri le Dina, Amri le Knasa? One opinion thinks that Mikir Adin, he owes me that money, and the other opinion thinks it's a penalty. What's the din? What's the penalty? So the Gemara explains. So Amri le Dina, the din is that Mikir Adin, I'm owed that money. He owes me the entire dirt that he put in here. Why? Mandi Yav Zuze, when a guy pays money for Apiri Shapira Yahiv, I pay you money for fruit, for grains, I want good grains, I don't want dirt. But Rova lo Tarech Inish. When a guy puts some dirt in there, you know, I'm not going to deal with it. It's not worth my time and effort to remove all the dirt. So I'm mochel on the if it's a rova or less. But if it's yosem rova, the guy really put in so much extra dirt, so then tarach inch, I'm willing to start removing all the dirt from it. V'chevin the tarach, once I'm being tarach and separating the dirt and sifting the dirt out from the wheat, so then tarach bakula, I'm going to go through the whole process. So once I'm cleaning out all the wheat, so I'm not willing to pay for any of the dirt, that's why you owe me the money. Normally I'm mochel if it's less than the dirt. It's not worth my tircha. Okay, a little bit of dirt gets in my chul, not such a big deal. Once there's a rove or more of dirt in my barley and then into my chul, that's going to bother me, so I'm going to go through the tircha, and you're selling me wheat and barley, you're not selling me dirt. So I'm not mochel if it's more than a rove. You owe me mi'ikra dina. That's what it means, amrile dina. To dina, you owe me that full amount of dirt. Vamila, others say, like Tani suggested, Kenazah, it's a penalty. How's the penalty? Rova shchiach, yoser lo shchiach. It's typical that an amount of dirt that equals a rova is found in bags of wheat and bags of barley. More than a rova is complete. It's off the charts. That's not expected. So v'ihu, so had so much dirt get there. It must be v'ihu hudariv. It must be that the mocher had mixed together dirt. He was trying to benefit himself, so he added some extra dirt in there. V'cheven d'arv, since we assume that the mocher on his biadayim added dirt to the bag of barley and the bag of wheat, so kansura banin b'kula, they gave him a knas to pay not only the surplus of dirt, but the entire amount of dirt that was placed in the bag. Okay, Mario now quotes a mnemonic here. I don't know why Babasa, I feel like we have more mnemonics in Babasa than other Masechtas. The Gemara says, Simen kol tre shtari deruavin barav nachman ona v'kavanusa. Okay. Gemara asks a question, Meisive. Kol sa sheyesh barova mimin acher yimait. So this is a halacha that appears in halachas of Kalayim. So let's say you have a certain amount of grain, and within that grain there's a rova of another species. So what's the halacha? Yimait. You don't have to remove all the species. I just have to remove where it gets less than a rova. So a rova is a certain weight or a certain volume. So if I have a lot of, I don't know, grapes, and then in the grapes there's some barley, so if there's a barley that's a rova, I need to take out just a few kernels of barley so it gets less than a rova. And I can let the other barley kernels stay within that mixture of the grain. So that's what it means. You might just make it less so there's a less than that shear, and then we assume all the barley is batel, legabe kalayim. That's the lachon. No, now we're going to connect the two of them. That's just kalayim. Oh, it's talking about planting of kalayim.
Here, this is the one. If it's a miyat of one of the, whatever the min is, you're not choshed that it's going to be able to create kalayim?
Right, so we assume it's bittel. So you have to look at the Rashbam here, but if it's less than a rova of another min, we assume it's bittel, and you could go ahead and plant it. Even though it's going to mix a little bit, it's all fine. So now we're going to take this rice and carry it over to our lachas of buying and selling when there are other mixtures of minim there together. So the Gemara says, Svarua, the initial idea was that de rova de kalayim ki yoser me rova de hacha v'katani yima. So right now we're assuming that the halachas of rova of kalayim equals the same halachas of our case of yeser me rova, which means what? A rova kalayim, it's an aser, if I make a little bit less, then that's fine, even though there's more. So too, if I have a yoser me rova when it comes to buying and selling, I don't need to remove all the dirt, just to bring it back down to the level, you might, down to the level of a rova. So why above did we say if there's more than a rova of dirt, you have to pay the full amount of dirt now? It goes against whether it's medina or whether it's mikanasa, but this price indicates you only have to be yimait, a little bit. So the Gemara says, lo, that's an incorrect comparison. Rova tekalayim ki rova dahacha. Dummy, they're equal. Meaning, if I have exactly a rova of kalayim, more than a rova of kalayim, then we have to remove all the extra min. Just like if there's more than a rova of buying and selling, I need to remove all the dirt. But in this case, we're equating the rova lines. So a rova for buying and selling is acceptable. And a rova and kalayim, we say, you might, it's also acceptable, but we're not wanting machmer, we'll see in just a second, just make a little bit less. But we're equating the rova of both lines, the halachas are the same. So that's when it says, you might. So the Gemara says, well, yihachi, if that's the case, if we're really equating a rova of kalayim to rova of mecher, mekach, memkar, so just like we accept the rova of dirt in the chita and just let it sit, we should also let the kalayim, if there's a rova of another min, just let it be. Why might anything? So the Gemara says, Amayimait, Rishu Mechumra de Kalayim. Since Kalayim, of course, is an Issa deraisa, it's a much more serious din, we're Machmir to be Yimait. But again, just to review, if it's Yoser Mirova, you have to remove the whole min from Kalayim and the whole min from the Mekach HaMemkar. If it's exactly a Rova, so Mekach HaMemkar, we let it go, but when it comes to Kalayim, we just take off one kernel, and then that's fine, but that's a Chumra from Kalayim. So the Gemara says, Yihachi, that's the case. A Seifa. Look at the Seifa of that Mishnah that appears in Maseches Kalayim. Rabbi Yossi holds, Omer, Yivor, he hold, you have to remove the entire amount of the other min. If there's exactly a rova of other min with a haklaim halachas, you need to take that whole min out. If I've got grapes, I've got a rova of wheat, I need to take all the wheat out. So the Gemara says, Iyamris Bishlama, if you say, we're talking about a case of the klayim, kiyosimi rova, tenufas, dami, bahakamifli. If you're talking about where the case of klayim is similar to a case of more than rova for mekach memkar, so then that's the machlokas here between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi. Bahakamifli. Tanakama savar, lo katinin heter atu asira. Tanakama says, you only might. You only give a penalty on the extra amount. You don't need to give a penalty on the mutter, because a rova is acceptable. More than a rova is aser. So only give a knas on the rova, the yoser, not a knas on the full amount. That's why Tanakama holds, you might. But Rabbi Yossi, Savar, Kantina, and we give a knas on the entire amount. Once there's a yosemi rova of another min, the whole min has to be removed. That's a knas. But Ella, Iyamers, if you understand, if the kalayim are equal, that kerova dami, that a rova of kalayim is like a rova of mekach memkar dami, a mayivor, why does Rabbi Yossi require you to remove the whole mount? We said when it comes to mekach memkar, if there's a rova of dirt in the chita, it's acceptable, we'll let it be. So how come Rabbi Yossi says with regards to kalayim, if there's a rova of another min, you need to remove everything? So the answer is the Gemara. Hasam hainu time of the Rabbi Yossi, mishum de mechsei, Kimekayim Kalayim. Look at Rashbam for an explanation. Mishum demechse kimekayim kalayim, around five narrow lines down. So once you started to take off some of the other min from the lachas of kalayim, and then you now brought it down to the proper level, under the rova line. Now mechsek ilu matil osan biyadayim v'zorin b'kimiskave. Now you walk away. You say, no, I've got less than a rova. I'll leave the rest of the wheat there. In fact, I walk away. I acknowledge that there's other wheat there. And I don't care about the wheat. It appears as if I'm biyadayim adding wheat and planting it in such a way of a klayim. So because of the impression, so Rabbi Yossi says, when it comes to klayim, once you start to be ma'ayit from the rova, you need to be ma'ayit everything. And it's very different than the lachas of mekach umemkar, because of course, when it comes to klayim, we're dealing with an iser deraisa. And therefore, a maris ayin is going to be of concern. Okay. Gemara now says, Tashma, shnaim shifkidu etel echad, of two people, gave some money to a bank, to guide a watch. Echad zeh manav, zeh masayim, one guy gave $100, the other guy gave $200. And Ze Omer Masayim Shalim, Ze Omer Masayim Shalim. Now each one claims that the $200 was theirs. Obviously, one of them are lying. So what's the halacha? So no sin lezemana, lezemana. You each give each one only $100, and then the final 100 vashar yemunach ad shevo Eliyahu has to wait until Eliyahu tells us, comes and tells us who is the rightful owner. So how come in this case we see that machlokas Tanakam Rabbi Yossi about are we penalizing just the surplus or do we penalize everything? So here we say we don't penalize everything, we just penalize the surplus, the 100. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? It must be, the Gemara answers, Hachi Ashta. Hasam vade mani lamar, mani lamar. There, each one is owed at least $100. So give them the $100 that they're owed. But mi yemar delav hacha, in the case of the wheat mixing together the grapes and the wheat to klayim, Hacha, we don't know. Mi yemar delav kula aruva aruf. Maybe this guy, Rabbi Yossi holds in the case of klayim, you have to remove all the wheat that are, with the grain. It's a possibility that maybe he threw all the wheat in there purposely. We have no idea. So in the case of the mana, each person's owed a mana. So we're trying to cover our bases. Everything that's vadai, we deal with. You get 100, you get 100. The only soft thing is that final 100. When it comes to the klayim case, we have no idea. Now there's so much wheat, which is abnormal, to be mixed together with grapes, we start wondering, maybe the guy, he's the one who put all the wheat in, so that's why we penalize him on the full amount, in that case, according to Rabbi Yossi, in the case of the Kalayim. Gemara now brings another ayah, Tashma, Me Seifa. The Seifa of that case, when they gave the money to the banks, so Rabbi Yossi argues and says, we don't give each person a mana and a mana, and leave the final mana, Ad She Yavol Yahu. Comes along Rabbi Yossi, Im Keni says, Ma Hefsid Ramai. The Ramai's not going to lose. You're going to lose out. I gave 100. I'm going to claim 200. I'm going to get my 100 back anyways, and you're the only one losing. So that's not going to encourage the Ramai to admit. So Ella Rabbi Yosi holds that kol yehe munach ad shiyavo Eliyahu. The entire amount is going to be set away until Eliyahu comes and tells us who the rightful owner is. So in this situation, we see that this should be a support that you are penalizing for the entire amount, and it actually is Rabbi Yosi l'shitaso. Rabbi Yosi here by the case of the money, and Rabbi Yosi by the case of the client, you are going to penalize everything. So here the Gemara says this should be a raya that you are penalizing even the mutter part. So the Gemara says this is not a raya because hachi hashta, this now, hasam vada ikaramai, the case of the mana and the mana, there's definitely a person who's playing games here. There's definitely a penalty, so that's why we penalize the entire amount. But hacha, when it comes to the case of klayim, mi yemar daruvi ariv, who says he mixed it together? Maybe it happens to be his grapes and grains got mixed together and he had nothing to do with this. We don't know. It's just an open question. So even though Rabbi Yossi says we penalize the full amount, you cannot bridge together these two cases because the cases are different. The case of the money, there's definitely a guy playing games, but the case of the klayim, it's not necessarily true that a guy mixed them together. Next Tashma, the Gemara says, Tashma, Shtar Sheyeshba Ribis, a shtar has ribis written in it, that you're going to borrow money and pay back with interest. Kontin also, Vein Gova Loas Akarin, the Loas Aribis, Divi Rabbi Meir. We penalize the lender that not only can he not collect the interest, but he can't even collect the initial amount that he lent out. He loses everything. That's according to Rabbi Meir. We are Kon, we're Knas, even the Adavar Heter. That's Divi Rabbi Meir. So we see it's a raya that Rabbi Yossi holds. You penalize the entire amount, even the part that's mutter. So the Gemara says this too is not a proof that you penalize everything because hachi hashta there now by the case of the ribis hashta mishas ksivahu davile shuma hacha miyemar daruve ariv. The moment you wrote the shtar down and you had the malva and the lova and the interest, all the different details, the isser already kicked in right then, and the guy was very much aware. So there was an isser a ribis. So that's why we penalize him everything, even the keren. But here, by the case of mixing together the wheat with the grapes, whoever said, we don't know if the farmer ever mixed it together. Maybe it happens to be they got mixed on its own. So since we don't know, there is no proof that you should penalize him for the entire amount when it comes to the case of a klayim. Ketosa asks an interesting question here. I'm not going to go through it here about how the Edim could really serve as Edim on the shtar. Because if they sign on the shtar, doesn't it make them puzzle? Because it's an interesting Tosa. He asks a few places in Shas, but because of the time and because of the heavy limud, I'm going to skip the Tosfos. The Gemara now says, Toshma, Misefa. The Seifa of that case of the Ribbis, there's another opinion, which is the Chachamim. The Chachamim hold that Gove es HaKaren ve'eno Gove es HaRibbis. They argue. You can collect the interest, but the bank can collect the initial loan. So they lend $1,000 in interest. The interest above the $1,000 they cannot collect, but they can collect the initial $1,000 of the keren. So this is a proof that we don't penalize the entire amount. We only penalize the dover is to the ribis and the interest, but we do not penalize the keren. So the Gemara says, no, this doesn't prove it serves a raya because hachi hasha, they're now Hasam vaday karna dehaterahu, comes to the lending $1,000 is completely permitted. That's a dover heter, so that's why we let him collect that amount. But when it comes to hacha, here the case of the klayim miyemar dekula lo ariv aruve, can we say with certainty that the owner of the field didn't mix together the wheat? We have no idea. Maybe yes, maybe not. We don't know. But vaday, by the case of the lending money, that karen was definitely dover mutter, so we allow him to take it back. But in a case where we don't know, there's a safek, maybe the full amount we should have to penalize as well. Let's do one more tashma, and then we'll stop at the top of tzadi hey. The Gemara says tashma. The Tani Rabin bar Rav Nachman lo esa moser belvad hu machzir ela machzir lo esa revon kulam. So it's referring to a case here. If I'm selling some land to you, and I'm a Rash, look at Rashbam, we'll read through Rashbam a little bit. It's around seven narrow lines up. He says, Tashma the Tani Rabin. Lekamam beperek base kor. Later on in the perek in Maseches Baba Basra, it's Tanan, the Mishnah tells us. Base kor offer ani mochelecha mida bechevah. I'm selling you an amount of dirt, and we're going to measure it out. If the mocher says, hey, I'm not going to be so precise. If it's a little bit more, a little bit less, you could keep it. It's fine. And a filu, even if the pichas rova lisa, a host of rova lisa higiu. Even though, let's say, I happen to give you a rova less than what I told you, or I'm giving you a rova more, that's all acceptable. We'll let that sale go through. So the Gemara says, dehainu shloshim rivon lebeis kor, dehainu shloshisam. Okay, that's the deal we made. So now back to the Gemara now. So if let's say there's more than the Rova though, I said I'll allow a rova, but let's say there's more than a rova. So the Mishnah says, so not only do you have to return that surplus of a rova, but the entire rova I need to, let's say his talking terms, let's talk about money, just to make things easier. Let's say I say I'm going to give you $100, and I add in a couple extra dollars there, we'll accept it. So let's say $2 is the equivalent of a rova. So I give you $102, so you keep the $102. But let's say I end up giving you $103, so then you return not only the extra dollar, but the entire $3 you have to return. It's a package. 102 is acceptable, 103, all three comes back to me. That's in essence what the Gemara is saying with regards to amounts of dirt and property. So so we see from here, the Gemara says, last two lines of Tadi Dalet Amud Beis, Alma, we could conclude from here, Heicha Debai Ahu Durei Kula Mahadar. Whenever you return a surplus, you return the entire amount, everything. So it's going back to the other discussion. Do you return only the yes mirova or the entire amount? So the Gemara says you cannot view this mission as a raya because hachi hashta over there hasam, the case of the base core selling you a certain amount of dirt. Hein chaser, hein yes armale. I said to you as the seller whether it's more, whether it's less. Mihu, revi lo chashiv. I said more or less, a revi is not, I don't care about a revi. A revi is not so such a big shear. That I'm mochalam. But if it's yes in revia, that's a chashiv thing. If it's more than a rova, that's a lot more. And the chayv and the chazi leli at serufe betishas kabin havli ara chashivasa bape nafshe v'hadri. Since we're dealing with land, so if there's more than a rova of land, that's already something that if I add together with other amounts of dirt, that could amount to a big property now, acres and acres of land that I'm not willing to sell. That's viewed as an independent property. As opposed to when it comes to wheat and other things mixed together, it's never going to amount to a big size property. So I'll be mochel that davar when it comes to yes and mirova. Maybe only that surplus I'll add in. When it comes to property, not only is the most going to be returned, but the entire surplus has to be returned because it's possible it could add together to be part of some property that's considered a chashiv on its own right.